In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. Loving and all-merciful Father, through the gift of baptism, you forgive us our sins and give us a share in your Son's divine life. As we gather as your people during this convention, give us the wisdom to discern your purpose for us in our time, that all we say and plan and do may be guided by your Spirit and bring glory to Jesus Christ our Lord. who lives and reigns with you and the same Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The first reading is from the second chapter of Acts. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and for your children, for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself." And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received his word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from the 5th and 6th chapters of 2 Corinthians. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 3rd chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Thank you.
baptized to live together this life as Christians. But we, frankly, not unlike Peter's first century hearers, have a problem. Luther complained about those in his day who denied the power of baptism, saying they regard the water as dog's bath or cow's bath. In fact, Luther complained about them. They stare at baptism like a cow staring at a new barn door. You folks from Jersey will have to take the Iowan's word for that one. And us, we might even be worse. We know and believe that baptism is not just plain water. We know that it works forgiveness of sins, rescues from death and the devil. We know all of that and think nothing of it. And how do I know we think nothing of it? In fact, you think nothing of it. Now, let me give you a warning here. I'm not going to preach about the law tonight. I'm not going to describe the law and how it should make you feel. I'm not going to talk about some people in general somewhere who aren't following the law. I'm not going to dole out the law in some innocuous dosage to irritate you so that you can leave this place even more smug than when you came in your own holiness and look down your nose at the person next to you. I'm going to preach the law tonight to you. To every single one of you. Repent is the message of the apostle. Repent. The path back to baptism is repentance. Peter preached in the very last verse just before our text, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." And make no mistake, those first century Jews crucified Christ in your name, in your stead. When you fail to speak Christ and his forgiveness to others as you go about your daily vocation, is it not as though Christ were dead to them? Faith cometh by hearing. You cry out, "I tell you, I don't know the man." When you chew up your pastor, or pastor after pastor, or wring the life out of a poor DCE and spit her out because you won't spring for a few more bucks to keep her on, you cry out, "Give us Barabbas!" And I wonder if some of your congregations, if they had Jesus as the pastor, wouldn't have a voters' assembly crying that very thing. "Give us Barabbas!" When you pastors can find any excuse not to be visiting your people and hitting the pavement in your community, being Jesus there who came to seek and to save the lost, you render Jesus dead to that community. You cry out, "Crucify him." Do you not? When your church is embroiled in controversy and inside you cry out, "Crucify them." You cry out, "Crucify him." When your hearts are filled with lust instead of an unquenchable thirst for God's word, you cry out, "Crucify him." When you are discontent and unhappy with your lot in life, unhappy with your call, impenitent with your congregation, even lording it over him, pastors, you take the crown of Christ and press it down, that thorny crown, press it down on his very head and say, "Hail, King of the Jews." Now, if you're sitting there thinking, "Man, I'm glad he's talking that way to my pastor." Then you're twice as damned as your pastor under the law. And when after the last voters meeting, like Judas, you were hiding in the corner talking about how to crucify your pastor, you cried out, "Let his blood be on our hands." And when you fail to pray, the Lord of the harvest send workers, you fail to pray for your own pastor, or pastors, you fail to pray for your people, you crucify the Lord of glory. Don't waste time denying your sins, Luther says. You crucified him. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Repent and be baptized. Wash me from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. My friends, Jesus Christ died for sinners. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. As much as it pains me to preach this, if you tonight are no sinner, if you do not recognize yourself in the scorching mirror of the law, if you are not a hard-boiled sinner just like the rest of us, then you might as well leave right now. Because Jesus is not for you. Jesus himself said, you see, I came not for the righteous who have no need to repent, but for sinners. Baptized sinners. That's what you are. Oh boy, do I have good news for you tonight. Luther said about Jesus' own baptism, when Jesus is baptized, he sticks himself in the water so that when we go into the water of baptism, we pull Jesus out with us. How marvelous. When Jesus is baptized, Mark's gospel says, heaven is torn open. So Luther says, in heaven, in baptism, heaven is nothing but doors and windows. It's wide open, and it's in baptism. It's in the water. He's born of a woman, born under the law. He knew no sin. He sticks this perfect obedience in the water. It's in the water. In Jesus' baptism, the Holy Spirit descends as a dove. The Holy Spirit goes into the water. In Jesus' baptism, the voice of God from heaven says, behold, you are my beloved Son. God the Father's words of approval go in the water. Paul says, in baptism, we are buried with Christ into his death. So Christ's passion, the death sentence, the ridicule, the standing before Pilate, the beatings, the whippings, the bloody crown of thorns, the King of the Jews, the nails, the forgive them, Lord, they know not what they do, the today you will be with me in paradise, the it is finished, the last breath, all of it goes in the water. And Paul goes on. There's much, much more. For if we have been united with him in a death like his in the water, we shall surely be united with him in a resurrection like his in the water. We know that our old self was crucified with him in the water in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin in the water. For one who has died has been set free from sin by the water. For one who has died has been set free in the water. Now, if we have died with Christ in the water, we believe that we will also live with him in the water. And Paul goes on in Titus, but when the goodness and loving kindness of our God appeared, he saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Ghost in the water, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, in the water, so that being justified by grace in the water, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life in the water. It's all in the water. Don't you see it? Peter says baptism now saves you in the water, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as a pledge of a good conscience before God. You see, baptism is the pledge. The pledge goes in the water with Christ. Christ has stuck all of this and more into the water. And because you've been stuck into the water too, it's all yours, every bit of it. So let's go on about our business here, baptized. Doesn't mean we're always going to agree on every strategy or resolution. We won't. Does it mean we won't have personality clashes and struggles and sins among us? We will. But it does mean this. Paul says, we were therefore buried together, sun etafe men, buried together, all of us together, into his death. Together we're in the water, sink or swim. And Peter goes on to preach, the promise is for you and your children and all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. So, when you want to scream this week and point at those around you and say, you're all wet! Well, yes, they are. And so are you. Now let's get about the business of getting the whole world wet. It's all in the water. We're baptized for this moment in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. For us men, for our salvation, came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and would crucify also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the
resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. For the whole family of the baptized, that rejoicing in the forgiveness of sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit, they may proclaim the promise of new life in Christ with courage and confidence, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all the congregations of our synod and her mission plants, that the joy of the age that is to come at Christ's return may shine through them, so that they each may be renewed by the Spirit and strengthened to be a refuge of peace for a weary world. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Matthew, our synod president, for all our district presidents, for our pastors and teachers, our deaconesses and missionaries, and all others who serve in our congregations, that the ministry of reconciliation may flourish among us as we proclaim with boldness God in Christ reconciling the world to himself and not counting trespasses against us. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the auxiliaries of our Synod, the Lutheran Women Missionary League, and the International Lutheran Layman's League, for both leaders and members, that they may be upheld in their zeal for mission, proclaiming Christ near and far. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the churches of the Augsburg Confession throughout the world, that each would be strengthened in holding to the faith once delivered to the saints and renewed in the joy of the gospel. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all our brothers and sisters in Christ who endure persecution and daily face hardship and death for the sake of the holy name of Jesus, that God would grant them courage and resolve and a sense of his merciful presence. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those gathered together in this place to do the work of our synod, that all our speaking and hearing may be to the increase of faith, hope, and love. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who do not know the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, all who live without faith in the promises of God, that the Holy Spirit may use us to proclaim to them the gift of the kingdom. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who struggle and are passing through difficult times, church workers without call but longing to serve, the sick and the hospitalized, the depressed and the mentally afflicted, all those taking treatments, the grieving, the lonely, especially the dying, and all whom we now name silently in our hearts. That they would find Christ to be their peace in turmoil, their joy in sorrow, their health in sickness, and their life in death. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For our elected officials, especially the Congress, the President of this nation, the justices, and all who serve in state and local government, that they may be strengthened and upheld in every good deed, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all who approach the Holy Sacrament this night, that rejoicing in the only begotten whom the Father gave, so that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have eternal life, they may receive the Savior's body and blood in a worthy manner, with faith in his forgiveness and hope in his promises. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the faithful who have gone before us and who rest in Christ, let us offer our thanks and praise, asking God to bring us with them to the feast of joy on the day of resurrection, the day without evening in the kingdom of our Father. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Greet one another with a sign of peace. Offering will now be received. You may take your offering to the nearest usher.
God so loved the world. Should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, having created all things, took on human flesh and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven,
We laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me."
As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Amen.
Come, Lord Jesus. O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom,
and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
This is the true body of Christ given for you. body of Christ, given for you.
Thank you. given for you. This is the true body of Christ given for you. Given for you.